Do I have to look at Don's knees? Do we throw something over them, please?
Presentation mode is now enabled.
Anybody else want to say anything? Okay. If this is a box, I'm in order of this box. I feel like I have to pull out doves or something, make them fly. Or, well, maybe we can ask one of these pretty ladies, like, you want to go inside? I saw you in half. And you know. Okay. All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit tonight about the God of love and the love of God and tell you a little bit about what it means, the framework for the whole operation, so to speak, and why we talk about it and why we focus there, okay? And we're talking about the God of love really from two points of view. It's sort of a play on words, okay? And that is that when we create, okay, we create all sorts of things in our lives. We create on different planes. We create emotionally. We create mentally. We create unconsciously. And we create, if we're able to access the spirit, we create spiritually, okay? But all our creations are in what's called along the negative plane. Any emotional creation or any mental creation is a separation between the spirit we are and us, or the soul and spirit, or to put it real simply, it's karma, okay? And we create that, okay? And when we're told in black and white in the Bible, you should have no other graven images and create no other gods, or have no other gods besides me, what's really being said is an ingenious way to keep clear karmically. In other words, if we choose to create emotionally, mentally, what we're doing is we're worshiping that creation. We're making it God. And then that God is placed above whatever you want to call it, the great oversoul, the Lord God, etc. We've made that more important because our focus is going there. And that becomes a graven image. Okay, that becomes a false God. So when we talk about the God of love, we're talking about how to be clear, how to love God, and that's the only creation you need to create with or stay with, okay? So for example, once again I'll use Edward because I like to pick on Edward, okay? And he's a great track man. The reason he's a great track man is because he steps on my foot, okay? And I get really angry, so he runs, and he runs real quickly, all right? So he's a great track man. All right, now if I get angry at Edward because he steps on my foot and it just passes through, well, that's fine. You know, I've got emotions, I'm in a body, it comes with the territory, okay? But if I choose inside myself to go, I can't believe that guy Edward, and I keep feeding it and feeding it, and 30 years later, I'm still furious at that guy. And there I am huffing and puffing around the track after Edward, you know, trying to catch up with him, and I'm still angry at the guy. Well, then that's my creation. That's my karma. I've created that. Okay, and the interesting thing is, it has nothing to do with Edward. It has to do with me. I created it. I made that God. I made that more important than the spirit I am. I made my anger more important because I fed it. I chose to feed it. Okay, Melissa's not sitting there beaming, be angry at Edward, be angry at Edward, okay? Don isn't, okay? Edward certainly isn't, okay? KPM, I'm not quite sure. It's possible, okay? But what am I doing listening to her? Okay, so it's my responsibility. I'm feeding the anger, and that's my creation. So I've made a God. I've made that God. And I'm, by spiritual law, I'm responsible. I'm karmically responsible for it. Okay? I don't want to do that. Okay? So if I choose to make the Lord of the Most High or the Great Oversoul or what people call God, God, well then I'm home free. No pun intended, but if that's my focus, then guess what? Every moment, moment by moment by moment, if I choose to focus there, then guess what? I'm not going to be creating things separating me from the spirit I am. And I'm going to be able to be at home. I'm going to be able to be with God. Okay? Now, we're creatures of energy, so to speak, and we do a lot of habitual responses. We always kind of create along the same pathways. Creating, 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 creating. And we tend to create mentally the same way, emotionally the same way, unconsciously the same way, and even in the imagination, we create the same way. Okay? And there is something that God has given us that enables the spirit we are, or the soul, to say, well, wait a second, hold it. I'm more than my emotions. I'm more than my mind. I'm more than my unconscious. And to keep on track that I am spirit. It's like there's this lighthouse, and there's this beacon, and it's beaming, 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 okay? But the night is enveloped in fog, total fog, and you can't really see, okay? But that fog is our karma. It's our creation. And there's the light, and it's beaming, and it's beaming, and it's beaming. And that light is within us, because that's what God put in us. We have that light within us. And we have to stay on the beam. How do we stay on the beam if we can't see? Well, moment by moment, we make a choice. Hey, I'm not going to focus on the negativity. I'm not going to focus on the anger. I'm not going to focus on the hurt. I'm not going to focus on the pain. And you have that moment, and it clears. And then your ship goes a little bit ahead. And lo and behold, you're still enveloped in fog. But guess what? You do the same thing, and that area clears up, and then the ship goes a little bit further, and you keep making the progress, and you stay on track. And what's the track? Where are you going? You know, where are you going? You know, I remember as a kid, I lived on overlooking the river on the west side, and the highway was right there, and I used to stand at the window fascinated by all these cars driving back and forth, back. And I was wondering, where are they going? Where are they going? We're all going in the same place. Where are these people going? You know, and I wanted to somehow come up with a way to sort of get on the highway and stop some drivers at random and ask them, where are you going? You know, and what's so important? Because we're all going to the same place. And the time we take is called our incarnational patterns or our re-embodiments. And God's pretty patient, you know, so he gives us all the time we need until we learn to worship God. And how do we worship God? It has nothing to do with religious approach or anything. It has to do with what God gave us. We worship God in the spirit, okay? But wait a second, you know, we're alive. Yeah, well, that's the great thing. We're alive and we're able to access, because we have a soul and that soul is within us, we're able to access the spirit or God. And this access is provided as God's gift. It's called initiation, into some people call it the sound current, some people call it the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter, okay? And that way's been there forever, all right? And it's the way that the Christ Jesus taught, okay? Those were the original, his original teachings, okay? He didn't come here to find a church or make a religion or do anything. Okay, that's Paulianity stuff, okay? But the Christ Jesus taught us that when we're in the Spirit, we're with God, and there's a way, okay? And there's a way to do that, okay? But even if a soul isn't going to walk the path this lifetime, eventually every soul is going to, because that's how a soul, that's the journey of a soul. Journey of a soul is to come to know itself as Spirit, as God. And it goes from fear to love. Every soul is going to do it. How does it do it? Real simply, by allowing God and by accepting its karmic responsibility. Or if you're a Buddhist, you'll say it's Dharma. You have Dharma. This is your rightful duty. Okay, and the nice thing is, you know, if you live on Park Avenue and if you have trillions of dollars, it's irrelevant. If you're poor, it's irrelevant. If you're white, it's irrelevant. If you're green, it's irrelevant. If you're black, it's irrelevant. None of that stuff matters. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor, lawyer, engine chief, or anything. None of that matters. No one is exempt. So no one's exempt. And that's what's meant when it said no one is exempt from the law. We're all responsible. We all have to fulfill the law. And here's this God of love saying, well, wait a second. All I want to do is love you. And we humans go, no. I'm not worthy. It's not okay. I don't deserve it. Such a thing. You know, such a thing. I'm not worthy. Must have made a mistake. Can't mean me. No, it's okay. I'll suffer. Go, God, give the love to somebody else. I'll suffer. It's okay. And that's what we do. And we go on and on and on. And we suffer. Okay? But the suffering doesn't have to do with God. It has to do with our separation and the creations that we make. Where we're focusing. Where we're putting our energy. Because it's the attachment to those things that cause the pain. Because somewhere in the deepest recesses of our soul, no matter how asleep the soul is, somewhere there's some kind of memory of where we came from, where it came from, its origin, and its purpose. And if you notice, most people try to connect. They're always trying to connect. And what are they connecting with? You know, many of them use drugs, alcohol, sex, people, success in the world, whatever. They're always trying to connect. And it's all a distortion of the spirit inside, remembering itself and just trying to connect with itself. And how do we do that? Well, we do it through really a process of initiation, and we do it moment to moment by choosing to love God. In other words, there's Edward again. Stepped on my foot. And there I am. I'm getting into my usual pattern. I'm going to chase this guy. Even if it takes me 30 years, I'm going to chase him. And I'm going to get Edward, right? And after 29 years, I finally said, well, wait a second now. I'm going to give it up. I surrender. I let go. In that moment, guess what? Spirit takes the place of my anger, my agenda, and I'm just free. It's not free of Edward, because my anger had nothing to do with Edward. I'm free within myself. Well, guess what? If I do that moment to moment to moment, then I'm always with Spirit, and I'm always with God. Well, that's pretty neat. And that makes me free. See, but the real truth is I am free. And people are free, and we don't want to be free. We don't want that responsibility. You know? It was interesting. I gave a talk last week or 2 weeks ago down in Mexico. And one of the people in the audience was a born-again kind of thing. And all she wanted to know was, do I take the word of God literally? And I assume by the word of God, she meant the Bible. The word of God is actually very different. But she, and the whole thing was that, isn't that interesting? The focus is on, do I believe in the Bible verbatim or not? And here was this guy, he lived, he died, and now I have to believe on what people say he said. But I want to know, why do you think the consciousness that was in him is gone? You see? So it's a nice way not to be responsible, because what happens spiritually is that the consciousness that was in Jesus, the Christ, is in us, was distributed and given to each soul. And that's why he said, hey, that which is in me is in you too, folks. So guess what? We're responsible. And I thought, well, this lady was asking all that, those kinds of questions. I thought this was fascinating. And it reminded me of watching a show. And there was a priest, and he was utterly devoted to the Marian way. And I thought, well, this is fascinating. I mean, he's really a devotee. He really loves her. But there's something askew here. And then I realized what it was. That his devotion to Mary was something outside himself. He was giving his power over. He was giving his power over. And isn't it easy to be devoted to Mary than to be devoted to the soul that you are, and choosing that, and choosing to allow its progression, okay? And I don't want to be harsh, because I realize that that's part of that soul's learning. That's one of the things that soul is learning this lifetime. That eventually it's going to have to be responsible for its growth, for its progression. And devotion to something outside, nothing exists outside of us. Everything is within us, within the soul. That's all inclusive. Has to be, because God's in there. So any devotion to something outside yourself, you're in trouble. Okay? And there's an attachment there. So we talk of a God of love. Yeah, that's what you want to create. You want to make God in your life a first, and you want to make your creations God. But you want to make your creations God in the sense that they are God, that they are spirit. And we can't do that with hurt. We can't do that with pain. We can't do that with reinforcing all this separation and hurt and anger and fear, because that's not who we are, you know. I love the expression, hey, it's only human, I'm only human. Well, hell no, that's not it. Human means exactly what the word says. It means H-U. H-U has to do with the first manifestation of God. That's a pretty high frequency. That's who we are. We're its manifestation. We're the outcropping. This is it. We're in the physical world. We're the outcropping of our life as spirit in the inner world. That's what we're about. But we've forgotten. We've forgotten, and we're kind of stupid, and we're under anesthesia, or we're asleep, whatever you want to call it. And we're stupid, not because we're stupid, because we're not stupid. We're stupid because we have enveloped ourselves in the karmic fields. We've made all these creations more important than the spirit we are. And we've forgotten who we are. And the only way out is to love God. See, it's real interesting. When a soul leaves the body, guess what is the only determining factor in where that soul goes? There's only one. It's a real simple system, you know? And that is how much it loves God, how much light it has, how much it's growing. That's the only determination. you know? And aren't we taught that the eye has to be single? And when the eye is single, the body is alight? We're talking about the third eye, the spiritual eye. The eye, that has to be our focus, okay? But guess what? God gave us this body and he put us in this world. Well, what's all this other stuff doing there? Distraction, you know? It's a real nice distraction. But it's also a neat opportunity to lift. Because, yeah, it comes with the territory that Edward steps on my foot, I get angry with him. That kind of, I have emotions, you know, hey, that comes with the territory. But then guess what? My anger is a way to lift also. So I can use everything in the world to lift. So my negativity, guess what, can be a stepping stone to moving into love and loving God. That's how you do it. And letting go and surrender. You know, how many of you have a situation that you haven't a clue how to handle it? And you've been working it and working it and working it for God knows how long, for years.
How many have more than one?
I'm trying to be kind here. Yeah, okay. So you have a situation and you work it, you work it, you work it. Well, guess what? You're backed up against the wall, so to speak. And eventually you're going to say, gosh, I don't know. Nothing I do works. Help me, Lord. And you start the surrender process, okay? But so does the soul, because it's looking in the miasma, it's looking in the fog, it's trying to get on course. And eventually it reaches a point of saying, hey, help me, God. I ain't got a clue. And as soon as you reach out to God, then you're allowing God to extend himself to you. And that starts the process of the soul's waking up. It's all about waking up from this dream of whatever you want to call it, life or the sleep. Some people call it sleep, or this is called death. That's why you have to come here to come into eternal life. And what is the sleep? But our creations, our forgetfulness. And we come here to remember. You know, I always love these holidays in the religion, you know, because we're going to remember who we are and we're going to remember God. And we're, you know, and usually it's like with such a fear process attached, you know. I go, gosh, these people are lucky, you know. In a way, it looks like they're lucky because they, you know, they get a day or two or three or 10 days, whatever it is, and they're remembering God. But you know what? The soul remembers God all the time and needs to. And wakes up and wakes up and wakes up and wakes up and comes to remember itself as spirit and comes to know itself as God. See, that's what the Christed consciousness is about. It's not about some guy and some religion and all that stuff and all those rituals. It's about the attunement of the consciousness with God. And if some of you may remember that the test of Christhood that you pass and moving on, soul passes along in terms of its mastery. And one of the last ones is the shackle test. And it has to do with realizing that we're not imprisoned, we're not shackled, but that we're free and accepting that. And the shackles were the fear. The shackles were the doubt, the pain, the hurt, the separation, the allowing the forgetfulness to rule. And the Christ doesn't allow that. The Christ can't permit it. Okay? And that Christ is within you too. God lives in you. You're the Christ. And what does a Christ do? Hey, a ball player plays ball. A student studies, usually. A marathoner runs the marathon. And a Christ Christ. And how do you Christ? Okay? But you Christ like we're taught to. has to do with, well, the Greek word agape. Agape is, well, comes into the English as agape, but has to do with the eye being wide open, and has to do with being single, and has to do with love. And that's where the focus is. It's on just love. But it's not a namby-pamby love. You know, it's not about being a doormat. No, it's about choosing and having the courage to be with the Spirit inside yourself, knowing God moment to moment, regardless of what's going to happen. Because when you're navigating that boat and you're choosing a second of being clear, being with God, the fog dissipates. You don't know what's on the other side of that. There still may be more fog. But you have the courage in that moment to stay with what you don't know is going to happen. You don't have to know the future. There ain't no future. So you just went anyway. But all we have is the present. That's the nexus for everything. So you stay present, you stay present, you stay present. You know? And a lot of the Eastern training is about that, being present. You know, the Zen of things, mindfulness, etc. Being entirely present. You know? And one of the things I hate is getting a call from somebody and they're just going through the motions of a conversation. Don't call me. Or they'll ask a question and they'll say, I don't know, I don't understand my answer. And it's a second grader would know the answer, would understand it. They're just not present. Okay? And that's disturbing because it blocks the flow of spirit from me. See, because each of us, we're transmitters. We receive spirit, we give it out. We receive spirit, we give it out. And God is waiting for us to be awakened because he needs us, because we complete him. We're like a cell in his body. This cell wakes up, that cell wakes up, that cell wakes up. Then eventually God is awakened because we're all one in the body of God. You know, it's not a mystical thing through the unity of the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. It happens to be the truth. You know, and now the scientists come to this understanding with chaos theory. You know, and they know that if a butterfly flaps its wings in Patagonia down there, then in Australia they can have a tidal wave because we're all connected. You know, we're all, well, not even all connected, we're all one. See, and we think that, you know, if we pollute the environment, we're not going to pay the price. We're going to pay the price. Okay? We think that, you know, the old Woody Allen movies, can I get away with my karma? How much can I, can I rob a bank and who would know? And can I get away with this stuff? Well, am I really responsible? Yeah, we really are responsible. And God loves us enough that he gives us that responsibility. And the responsibility is the ability to respond to the spirit we are. Okay? So I want to wrap this up because I just wanted to give you an overall sense of the soul's journey, which is from fear of God to love. That we are karmically responsible. Our purpose here is to know God and love God. That fulfills the law, by the way. To love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself, fulfills the law. Okay? That simply means if you adhere to that, then the karma that you have created is cleared. Okay? And the forgetfulness, and I wanted to impress upon you also that the forgetfulness that is upon us, or the sleep that is upon us, that there is a way to wake up from that. There is a way to nurture the spirit we are. Okay? There is a way to use the gift of whatever you want to call it, the Christed consciousness in us, God consciousness, that lies dormant, there's a way to have that awakened and to nurture that. Okay? And if I said, hey, here's $1 million, okay, but don't use it, you'd think I was a pretty nasty guy, or at least sadistic, or cheap, or something like that, okay? But that's kind of like what we're all doing. We've got this thing in us, the soul, the spirit, God, and we don't use it. We don't think we're worthy. We don't think we're important enough. We're kicked out of the garden. We're not kicked out of the garden. That's a myth. You know, there was a second tree in the garden. That was a tree of life. The tree of life is in the garden too. Okay, and we have access to the waters of life all the time. Through the gift of initiation, the sound current, we have that. And in our day-to-day living, we're able to make choices. God gave us free will. That's powerful. That's mind-bogglingly powerful. Okay, and I'm going to close by just having you get nice and quiet. And we're going to do an exercise. Because I don't want you huffing and puffing, and so I won't say we're going to do exercises. We're going to do an exercise. Oh my God, what is that? I didn't bring my leotards. Well, don't worry. Okay, it's a real simple exercise. And the exercise is to get quiet. Choose among, if you just by chance happen to have any anger, hurt, pain, sorrow, fear. And get into that and just allow that to be really present with you, really be a God. Okay. Now, make a choice now. Just, even if you don't know what's going to be on the other side of the choice, choose to let go of the focus there. Okay. That's power. That's the exercise of your free will. Okay, how many of you were able to make that choice? How many of you could get to have an experience of the power? You have power. Okay, and those of you who either haven't or don't want to admit it, you can do this for the next week. Once a day for the next week, pick something that you're really angry or annoyed about, and then choose, even for a moment, to let go of the focus there. See what happens. And then see if you can add a minute to the minute to the minute to the minute, and see what happens. Okay? Okay, and this is our responsibility. See, and God loves us so much, He gives us all the time in the world we need to master this love and to know God. And to focus there. See? And when the soul takes initiation, the soul is awakened, as it were. And then that beam that's been beaming, the fog kind of parts. And the soul's job is just to stay on that. So it's not enveloped by the fog. Okay? But because the soul is very the most powerful thing in all of creation, it can choose to refog itself anytime it wants. But it has a head start. The fog parts through God's gift of initiation. And that fog is the karma. Well, if you're wise, you'll take the gift and you'll enjoy the journey, because there's only one journey. We're all going to the same place. When that is, we're all going home to God. But it doesn't happen because you die. You know, oh, he died. Uncle Sal died and he went home to God. Good luck. You know, you're not going to make a 100-watt bulb out of a 30-watt bulb. It doesn't work that way. But if a soul has developed itself and focused and kept its eyes single, as it were, then the body is a light. The soul body is a light. And then that bulb, in its lifetime, has become 100 watts, And then you drop the body and you just go to that same frequency. Okay? But guess what? While you're in the body, and this is God's grace here, while you're in the body, you can be with God. Real simple, real easy, nothing mysterious about it. You know? And no one holds the patent on it. God gave it to all of us, the greatest democracy going. You know? The greatest democracy going. You know, in the time of the God-King, or the King who was the divine incarnation, you know, that you find in Persia or Iran or even the Emperor Japan, etc. That whole concept, that whole idea, that's all over. Because what's happened spiritually is the great democracy has happened. That the God consciousness is within all of us, and it's our individual responsibility to exercise that. You know? And hey, if you don't like to go to the gym, exercising this responsibility is some good exercise. Okay, we'll stop with that, and I'm glad you came. You have some homework, okay? Just once a day for the next week, do that. Okay, what we did here, we simply chose to focus on negativity, and then we chose to make a choice of dropping that focus, even if we didn't know what would happen if we dropped it. And we allowed ourselves to be free. Because in reality, we are free. Okay, I'll stop with that, and I'll take questions in a few minutes.